Hi, everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I'm Robbie with my co-host Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how are you?
I am fantastic, and I can't wait to experience the far-off year of 2010.
The far-flung future of 2010. We are joined. That's right, we are joined by Eric Zebulon. Good night.
You're not supposed to give away my secret identity.
Oh, sorry. He is my co-host from the Handsome Boys Comics Hour, a comic book podcast, our comic book podcast. And we're having a little crossover this week with Matt. Yep. Matt's joining us. We've already recorded our discussion about The Dark Knight Returns.
Mm-hmm. You better listen to it.
I believe you mean our dissertation.
Oh,
our audio dissertation.
It was.
We're all PhDs now, right?
It was, yes, quite lengthy. We talked about everything you could possibly talk about, except that's actually not true. Before we get into this week's episode, we are brought to you by our supporters on Patreon. You can support us by going to patreon.com/TheSimpsonsShow. For only $2 a month, you can gain access to all of our bonus content, bonus episodes, our summer reviews of King of the Hill. For sure, why not? We have someone to thank, Matt.
We do. I love thanking people.
We too. Thank you, Holly Grantham. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Holly.
Also, there you go. If you want to help us out, go to iTunes, wherever you listen to us, give us a 5-star review, subscribe. All those good things helps us out. This week's episode, Lisa's Wedding, episode 2F15, written by Greg Daniels, directed by Jim Reardon, originally aired March 19th, 1995, finished 52nd in the ratings, Nielsen rating of 9.1, approximately 8.7 million viewing households, third highest rated show on Fox that week, following Beverly Hills 90210 and Melrose Place.
I'm no longer depressed, just resigned to mediocrity.
I mean, when you're third behind Beverly Hills 90210 and Melrose Place, that's not a shameful thing. Those are two spectacular television programs. They had
no comment on that, but it was Fox, so you know.
Luke Perry, Tori Spelling.
He was a very popular, very handsome gentleman. She was the daughter of the producer,
Tiffany Amber Thiessen.
That wasn't until later, though, was it?
I don't know. The chalkboard gag. I will not strut around like I own the place. I mean, it's not bad.
That's really the only way to strut around. Otherwise, you're just being a jackass.
I know, you might as well strut. The couch guy. Couch brings the family off, lodging their heads in the ceiling. Episode guest stars Manny Patinkin as Hugh Parkfield and Phil Hartman as, brief appearance as future Troy McClure.
Mm-hmm.
Eric, before we actually get into what this episode is.
Yes.
What is your, give us a short, brief history of your Simpsons fandom.
That's a really good question. It's just one of those things that I never really thought of myself as a Simpsons fan, but over the years you accumulate like 7 or 8 VHSs of Simpsons episodes that you've recorded. You sort of realize that you can just, I mean, obviously when we first met, that was something that we used to do all the time. Let's just quote Simpsons back and forth. It's the kind of thing that I never thought I was a Simpsons fan, but it's just really deeply ingrained in me.
Were you watching these as they were coming out?
Yeah, yeah. A lot of them I was. Like, I remember, I don't know, listening along as you guys have been doing this, it's gotten me looking back on these things and realizing that I watched a lot of these when they were on TV, and I assumed that they were reruns or they were whatever, or I would assume that they were far later in later seasons, but it's weird how, you know, getting older dilates time like that. But I clearly watched a lot of these on the night they aired. I don't ever remember being really excited and, you know, sitting down and wanting to watch The Simpsons, but it was one of those things that clearly I had to have been. It's just weird that I've never really thought of myself as a Simpsons fan. It's just always been there. But I clearly am.
Yeah. I mean, I never, like, immediately I'm like, oh, he likes The Simpsons. He's a Simpsons fan.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, yeah, Eric, we like comic books. We like, you know, a lot of, we like metal. We like The Simpsons. Like, there's, we have things in common. This week's episode begins with the Springfield Renaissance Fair, which I think it's very appropriate how bad it is. Because that is exactly how all our... we had a Renaissance Fair, a local Renaissance Fair. It was not great. except when you're a kid, you think it's cool, but when you grow up, you realize, oh.
I still think it's cool.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying Renaissance fairs aren't cool. I mean, like...
Your local one.
The local one was not...
It's just like 20 people in weird costumes talking about how yeah. life was better before the before vaccines and antibiotics.
Yeah, it wasn't necessarily like it's not like the Tampa Renaissance Fair, the one that tours through Florida now. It was a different thing. We see Flanders basically murder Smithers with a mace.
That's some real fighting there, boys.
Zounds.
Mm-hmm. I did mightily smitely.
Does Zounds really mean God's wounds?
I believe so, yeah.
I've always assumed that it did because of this episode.
I've seen it other places as well.
There's Zounds hearing aids.
That's probably what he meant, right?
Uh-huh.
And also a post-punk band. Okay, never mind. That's the dead end.
Just skip past that one.
Yeah, yeah. We see Marge. She apparently learned how to loom in high school. She's pretty good at it, pretty fast. And Homer... he wants to eat meat.
Yon meat too sweet as summer's wafting breeze.
Can I have some?
Mine ears are open only to the pleas of those who speak ye old English.
Sweet maiden of the spit, grant now my boon, that I might sup upon suckling pig this noon.
Whatever.
Oh, I've eaten 8 different meats. I'm a true Renaissance man.
I'll go to the first aid tent and tell them to plug in ye old stomach pump.
I needed to include the Homer noise.
Mm-hmm. Well, that and the stomach pump, because every Renaissance fair should have a stomach pump. You never know if people are drinking or eating.
They definitely should. Lisa then visits the Chief Wiggum's fantastical bestiarium.
Behold, the rarest of the rare, the mythological two-headed hound, born with only one head. Ooh, and here, out of the mists of history, the legendary Esquilax, a horse with the head of a rabbit and the body of a rabbit. Oh, it's galloping away.
Here, bunny. Here, bunny.
Here, Esquilax.
Here, Esquilax.
Here, Esquilax.
Do any bunnies actually come when you call them? Because I've never seen one do that.
No. No. Okay. No, rabbits just scratch and bite you.
I have a feeling that there has to be a rabbit on Earth that will come when called.
Maybe, but most don't. So I don't know why Lisa is calling that particular one.
She's an 8-year-old girl, Matt, is the answer.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. She's not a 45-year-old woman.
No, that's that. I think that is the simplest answer is often the correct one. The actual Renaissance Fair portion of this episode is very, very small. Most of it is like just the future part, but it does nail that local town Renaissance Fair, Springfield. You know, just that little bit of flavor to remind us Springfield is a small town with a crappy Renaissance Fair. Lots of meat, though, which is usually the best part of a Renaissance Fair anyway, the food.
The food and the booze.
It's gotten too expensive now, but... Lisa, chasing after the Esquilax... runs apparently into the shady part of the woods, the wrong side of the tracks in the woods, where the Cinderella story goes wrong as well, and runs into a fortune teller.
What's your hurry? Bart, Maggie, and Marge are at the joust, and Homer is heckling the puppet show.
Wow, you can see into the present.
Now we'll see what the future holds. No, that's good. It means transition, change.
Oh, that's cute.
A happy squirrel.
That's bad?
Possibly. The cards are vague and mysterious. They seem to be revealing the story of your first love. Do you want me to continue?
Oh, guess so.
It's coming to me, yes. I see an Eastern University in the year 2010. The world has become a very different place.
So that is our segue into the future of 2010.
Five whole years.
I'm not quite sure.
6 years. I can't do math.
I'm not quite sure if any real tarot card readers or people who have even seen a tarot deck have looked at this episode, but I'm pretty sure there isn't a card called the Happy Squirrel. So I don't know what kind of deck she's playing with there, but that's some odd associations.
There are modified tarot decks that have very weird cards in them. I'm not going to say that necessarily there is a squirrel card, but I know that the canon Tarot does not have a necessarily a canon, I think.
Oh, okay.
I mean, death, and but death card is necessarily bad. I think death card does necessarily mean change. But the squirrels are bad. I think we can agree. And we see grown-up Lisa at college at an undisclosed Eastern university.
Didn't want any of those universities to feel left out.
I think the fortune teller is like leaving, like the sliding door scenario where it could be, you know, she makes one decision one way, she goes to Yale or she ends up in Princeton. You know, there's all these different places she could end up.
But we definitely know she didn't go to Stanford. We know that.
That's true. That is a Western university. So no Stanford. This is the first of all the future designs. Like they had to redesign the entire cast for this episode. And they do a really, really, really good job. Grown-up Lisa looks like that looks like college-age Lisa to me.
It really does. And grown-up Bart looks like grown-up Bart. He looks basically like Homer with his spiky hair. Marge is basically Marge with some wrinkles, and Homer is fatter Homer
with Jetson's shirt on.
Well, yes. Yeah,
and that future polo shirt,
and he has one less hair.
Oh, that's right.
Exactly, one less. So we get kind of a setting of the scenes of what college is like, the college she goes to. We get a Wizard of Oz. At first, a joke about how the robots have overtaken humanity, but it's just a Wizard of Oz audition. There's holographic trees now.
Of a real tree.
We have not caught up to the whole. We have not gotten holographic trees yet.
But at least we still have regular trees, so that's something.
We don't have to. I mean, we have murdered many trees, but there's still some left. We get, it's very brief with Lisa before she almost immediately runs into Hugh. We meet Hugh, he's basically just annoying her and doing, they immediately hit their heads together. He steals the last soy pop out of the vending machine.
Ugh.
That sounds,
sorry.
I'm not against soy in general, but a soy pop?
Yeah, I imagine there's lots of stuff that has soy in it that we don't know about, but just soy?
Mm. It's congealed soylent.
Oh, so it tastes like Cheerio water.
Mm-hmm. It's
Cheerio water pops. He steals the elevator from her and then gets the last copy of the library book that she wants. She finally confronts him with this and they have a reading contest. Because of course they do. It's Lisa.
The book I need. You'll probably take forever with it, too.
I can read faster than you.
I read at a 78th grade level.
Right here.
Finish this page.
Ages ago. I'll get the dictionary.
Why?
You'll see when you get there, the word stochastic.
Pertaining to a process involving a randomly determined sequence of observations.
First they hate each other, now all of a sudden they love each other. Oh, it doesn't make any sense to me.
Of course not. You're a robot.
I love the idea of robot designers that give the robots the ability to cry but don't waterproof them.
So they short out and melt. We basically get Lisa and Hugh's meet cute. This is very much like a romantic comedy setup.
What is it she says? That man is immediately the most infuriating man I've ever seen,
yep.
Or something. Really, really, really heavy-handed. It's beautiful.
No, like, and yeah, this whole episode kind of exists as a way to subvert our romantic comedy expectations for romantic comedy. Honestly, it's set in the far-flung future of 2010. We get Lisa and Hugh kind of agreeing that they have a lot of similarities.
I can't believe how much we have in common. We're both studying the environment, we're both utterly humorless about our vegetarianism, and we both love the Rolling Stones.
Yes, not for their music, but for their tireless efforts to preserve historic buildings.
Rolling Stones are still touring now, in 2016. So they are, and they were touring in 2010. Simpsons were right about that, although, I don't know, 1995, was it crazy to think in 15 years Rolling Stones would still be touring?
I don't think so. Maybe they thought they would be dead because the drug use, but if they were still alive.
I guess that's true. We also get a bit about the classic Jim Carrey movies. I When did this is before the dramatic Jim Carrey choices. This is when he was still doing Ace Ventura and the Mask. I think
those fun movies. Was this before Ace Ventura 2? Because I think that's right about when it took a turn downhill.
Let's see, 95. Mask was 94. Dumb and Dumber 90. And then Batman Forever and Ace Ventura 2 were in 95. Cable Guy was 96. But then a return to form in Liar Liar in 97.
Oh yeah.
First true drama is Truman Show in 98. So
they were at least 3 years away from Jim Carrey completely changing his whole shtick.
Well, he's gone back and forth nowadays. You know, he does both, sort of. Where was I? Let's see. Big Ben is digital now, of course. They go to London to meet Hugh's family. Lisa meets the Parkfields. They are a proper British, stuffy British family, you know?
Extremely stuffy, as in, like, gigantic rods in their posteriors.
Matt, maybe they're... You don't know. Have you met any, you know, British families like that? Maybe they all act like that. Maybe that's just the way they
are. I've seen them on TV. I mean, I know the rest of Europe thinks of them as drunken, fat, pale people.
Matt.
What? You're saying I can't trust racist people from other countries in Europe?
Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Oh, well then, I need to...
But
you'll meet some actual British people.
Yeah, I know. Lisa hits it off with the family by meekly laughing at one of the father's jokes, which he calls boisterous American laughter, I believe.
That's true. Everyone knows the Brits are the epitome of refinement, and they only barely chuckle. So I'm sure a small titter like that would count as boisterous American laughter.
And after this, Hugh takes this occasion to propose to Lisa... First via, like, fireworks, but that does not, I guess that malfunctions, so they use a cow.
The cow!
The cow.
It just says, marry me on it. And Lisa accepts, and the robots watching cry and then melt. I would think that they would, again, your robot design is maybe not super thought out.
If no robots were ever able to work in the rain.
We were still working out the bugs in 2010.
That's probably... I mean, obviously. I mean, now we have robots everywhere.
Sure, they're much better now.
They deliver my mail.
Mm-hmm.
And they deliver our Amazon packages someday, maybe.
Can't wait. With that, with Lisa accepting his proposal, we go to commercial.
And when we come back, we see Lisa calling Marge to give her the good news.
Hi, Mom! Lisa! Hello! How are you doing in England? Remember, an elevator is called a lift, a mile is called a kilometer, and botulism is called steak and kidney pie.
Guess what? You and I are getting married!
All right! Lisa, that's wonderful! If only your father was still with us. But he left for work a few minutes ago.
Mom, remember when I was little, we'd always plan my dream wedding, and you always promised to, you know, well, keep Dad from ruining it?
Oh, don't worry, honey. I guarantee your father will behave.
Mom, it's a picture phone.
This? Oh, no, I just got a touch of the rheumatiz.
Oh. Mom, picture phone.
So as we see, people in 2010, we're still getting used to picture phones, which if you've seen old people use FaceTime, you know that that's still actually true here in 2016. We see that Marge promises to keep Homer in line once Lisa returns home because, well, Homer does awful things. Bart destroys buildings for a living. We see Bart in a suit, but it turns out his suit is inside an actual crane with a wrecking ball at the end.
This is the best job for Bart, right?
It really is. Either that or a stage magic, really. What? Magicians are just basically jerks to the audience because they're lying to them the entire time. Bart would be fantastic about that. We already talked about how smart Bart is and how athletic, and magicians, it takes both of those things. Bart would be a fantastic magician.
I think you're confused about what a magician is, Matt.
I don't know. I kind of like it.
Okay.
I like the idea. This is going in my head canon. Bart moonlights as a stage magician.
Okay. Like you mentioned that, Eric. They've done multiple future episodes since then. Since this episode, you know, they've done various different takes on, hey, what happens when Bart's 16, or what happens when they're 50. This still kind of in my head is basically what happens to them, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I it was the first time they did it, and after that, I'm just like, this is kind of what I feel like the future of the family is.
I kind of feel the same way about that, because, like, he makes the reference to going to law school. So to me, he still goes on to be Chief Justice of the Supreme Court.
Well, obviously. I mean, he said he's getting all of his aggression out so he can go to law school and not kill people. It's actually funny because in the later seasons, there are more future episodes, and they don't really contradict this one. We see, you know, Bart eventually gets married to Jenda and has a son and lives in the school. And
Lisa ends up at Millhouse.
That's true. Well, yeah, that was kind of depressing, but it does come back in several episodes.
I think that's my primary, like all the other future episodes I'm fine with for the most part. Lisa escapes Springfield.
She does, but she brings Millhouse with her as a hanger-on.
Mm.
It's funny, the only future episode that is not really, doesn't really fit with all the others is the one where Lisa is president and Bart lives with Ralph. Which is one of the really good ones. But they've actually gone back to that other future where, you know, Bart was married to Jenda and has a kid, and Lisa is married to Milhouse and has a daughter who doesn't talk to her. And they've gone back to those several times. And like I said, that future kind of fits with this one. Like, if you figure that's, you know, another 10 to 15 years down the line after this one, they kind of jive together. So
I'm not arguing that they haven't been at least semi-consistent with their future continuity. I'm arguing that the idea of Lisa marrying Milhouse is depressing, and I refuse to accept it in my Simpsons.
Maybe Milhouse gets a little better. Maybe.
I've seen those episodes, man.
Okay, so I can't lie to you then. Okay, Milhouse does not get better.
Milhouse is a great character. I don't want him marrying Lisa. Precious.
But he eventually becomes a zombie and then a perfect husband from there.
So what happens after the video call?
So after Bart gets off the phone with Marge, he knocks down a building. Marge then calls Homer, who is the same job. Lenny and Carl have moved on. They're the bosses at the power plant now, and talking about the international market, which I guess means that they've got a better electrical infrastructure in the 2010 of this universe than ours, because I don't think we sell power internationally even now. Milhouse, however, is Homer's boss. So in this scenario, we at least see Milhouse has a decent job, although his aggression is at best misplaced, because he takes it out on Homer that he did not end up with Lisa. So as we just discussed, he just had to wait a few years and he would end up with Lisa. So, hey.
I don't know what you're talking about, Matt.
We then see the Simpsons house where the Jetsons is the obvious influence on their house.
Their house, but everyone.
Everyone's house, yeah.
Yeah, like, and it's they're kind of lagging. All the other neighbors' houses are, like, basically the Jetsons, and the Simpsons are still kind of, like,
it's their house with a few Jetson-y accoutrements.
Yes, exactly.
Like a window box.
Yes.
That might be a room.
Might be a room.
We see a great joke with Marge not allowing Maggie to talk with her mouth full, so we don't get to hear Maggie's voice, of course. Homer is very excited about planning Lisa's wedding, and apparently he's one of what do they call moms who are crazy about their daughter's weddings?
I believe that's just the term is mother.
Okay, so yeah, so momzillas. Apparently Homer is planning to be a dadzilla, I guess, and suggests they have the entire wedding at Moe's, which, you know, isn't the worst option. But we find out that Marge has gotten a court order so that Homer cannot plan this wedding, which he takes remarkably well. He just goes to sleep in the hammock because, you know, it's less work for him.
And he's, at this point, he's older, you know, he has less energy. He's probably just saying, yeah, fine, that's fine.
He needs even more naps. He's got to sleep 20 hours a day like a cat.
Mm-hmm.
We then see Smithers receive an invitation, including a guest. So he gets to bring Mr. Burns, who... Okay, so I'm going to tell you guys something. When I saw this episode, it was in syndication, and it was like a week after seeing the Who Shot Mr. Burns episode. And for some reason, I've always conflated these two in my mind, that somehow Mr. Burns wasn't shot, he was stabbed in the back, and that this took place between those two episodes. Not sure why, because I was like, oh, Mr. Burns is obviously hurt in the future, so it must have something to do with who shot him. Do we have any idea why he was stabbed in the back 17 times?
I assumed no one likes him, so he got stabbed a bunch.
Okay, fair enough.
Not much more thought than that.
Yeah. So we find out that the team working at Mr. Burns has a cure for 15 stab wounds in the back, which couldn't you just do the cure for 15 and for two?
It's all, Matt, come on, Matt. This is medical science. Obviously, he wasn't stabbed in the same place 17 times, so they have to use different kinds of science and medicine on the different locations.
Of course, that makes complete sense. You know, Thank you for correcting me, Robbie.
They don't treat, like, if you get stabbed in the kidney and you get stabbed in the butt, they're totally different.
I would hope so, that one of those sounds much more painful than the other. We then see a following, another invitation go out to Principal Skinner, not Smithers, Robbie. he is still the principal of Springfield Elementary, and Mrs. Hoover is still teaching one of the classes. We see the wonderful classrooms that are just overstuffed with kids. Desks are like five high now, and they're all taught by video by a guy who's essentially a shill for Pepsi.
This is exactly how education is.
It's Troy McClure.
It's true.
It's Pepsi Presents.
Is it
edition.
Troy McClure?
It's Troy McClure. That's Phil Hartman in there. His brief appearance as Troy McClure teaching.
I thought the voice sounded familiar, but I was like, nah, no way.
Teaching addition and subtraction presented by Pepsi.
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 How much partial credit?
Yeah, there's a girl who gets partial credit for yelling an answer to a addition.
Hey, all you Pepsi. Need to know is the names of brands you can get through life.
I mean, that's what they taught me when I go to foreign countries. Just yell Pepsi at people, and they'll know what I'm talking about.
Pepsi and Coke and Levi's.
Taco Bell.
I was going to say the only thing they got wrong is school was sponsored by Taco Bell instead of Pepsi. So
there you go.
Same parent company, so I guess they weren't too far off.
I know.
That's true. Good old Yum Brands.
Yep.
Yum. It's in their name.
Indeed. We see Principal Skinner. Basically, his introduction to Ms. Hoover is that, oh, we've got an invitation to the wedding of our only graduate to read an adult level. And it turns out that poor Martin Prince, well, something bad happened to him.
We've been invited to the wedding of our only graduate to read at an adult level.
It must be Lisa Simpson, because, of course, Martin Prince perished in that science fair explosion.
Not quite perished, my lady love, although some days I wish I had.
I heard people jamming.
That's some quality music right there.
That is...
Phantom of the Opera, Martin Prince. So good. So good.
That song he plays is a variation of A Fifth of Beethoven by Walter Murphy, which is a disco version of Symphony No. 5 by Beethoven. We mentioned the designs earlier. We get like all these Martin Prince as the Phantom of the Opera and
God
and old Troy McClure and old Skinner and old why can't I think of her name? Teacher.
Miss Hoover.
Well, Miss Hoover. It's all really, really inspired. They did a really good job at their and it's
seeing the future and seeing how they would age.
Yeah, it's believable and like there's even the sky is a different color than normal episodes. Yeah, it's more reddish because it's about, like, they figured the world be more polluted in 2010.
Hey, I'll go ahead and look at that now.
Ding, 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 they're correct. all these are just great. It makes it a believable future. They do not do this half-assed. They commit to this.
Whole-assed.
They use their whole asses. That's true, especially with Martin Prince being in love with Miss Hoover, because that's all kinds of creepy and completely consistent with both of their characters.
Who does his voice?
Martin Prince?
Phantom of the Opera episode? Martin Prince. Who do you think does it?
I want to say Nancy Cartwright, and they probably because that's they used for her
adult Martin Prince.
Well,
that was just slowed down.
Well, that's what they did with Bart.
Okay, wow.
I don't know if they did that. I'm looking, seeing if they have it in the IMDb. If they have an adult Martin Prince. It might be someone else. Nope, it's Dan Castellaneta. Okay.
Okay.
Oh, that makes sense, I guess.
Yeah. But that's what... For Bart's voice, she did her normal Bart voice, and then they digitally altered it to make it sound old.
Cool.
But Dan Castellaneta, old, weird, fan of the opera Martin Prince.
That's true. If you have a hefty guy in Springfield, it's probably Dan Castellaneta doing their voice.
Even though he's not a big man, I don't...
No, he is a very skinny man, so he just has that special voice. But once we leave, the wonderful Springfield Elementary, we see Lisa and Hugh arriving at the airport, where their driver is Mayor Quimby, who apparently has faked his death and is now going by Mohammed Jafar. Is that what he says his name is?
It's something appropriately racist. Yeah.
He definitely says Jafar, because I immediately thought of Aladdin as soon as he said
Otto is apparently running the taxi cab company, and he calls him Quimby. So I don't think he's mm-hmm. faked his death. I think he's just trying to go by a different name, and it's just not working.
He's incognito.
Yeah, yeah. But he is
good for Otto, right?
Yeah, Otto's got some ambition. It's good for Otto. I'm glad for him in this true actual future of The Simpsons.
That's true. They didn't realize that all cars are robots by now. But, you know, they weren't, you know, psychic, so a rare miss. In the cab, though, Elisa is having a nervous breakdown, essentially, because she is still not prepared for Hugh to meet her family, because she very much respects his opinion. And, well, they're The Simpsons. but essentially, his comment is, as long as they're not squatting in a ditch poking berries up their nose, we'll be fine. And Elisa has the best response to the episode. And if they are? Because that's always a risk you take with The Simpsons. But when they arrive at the house, we see the Jetsons shirts that they've been wearing. We see Bart in one and Homer in one. And, Bart and Homer have taken it upon themselves to raise a British flag in honor of Hugh's visit, which, of course, then immediately catches fire, and then they pour compost on it to put it out, which they then give to Hugh. And as a sensitive man, Hugh cries. And with that, we go to a commercial.
I have seen that with the recent Brexit thing going on. I've seen him staring at the British flag and crying as it's flaming. I've seen that meme like all over the internet.
Very, very apt.
Very apt. When we come back, Homer is guiding Lisa and Hugh to the quote unquote guest bedroom.
You can be the first to try out the new guest bedroom I built. Remember, if the building inspector comes by, it's not a room, it's a window box.
Oh, Hugh, thank you. You've been just wonderful through this entire ordeal.
Lisa, I love you so much. I'm willing to go through anything.
Oh! Are you okay?
I'm fine, Lisa. Fortunately, the compost heap broke my fall. Be a dear, run a bath.
Poor Hugh. Not going great for him, even just to begin with. His flag is set on fire, and then compost poured onto it. Then he falls through the floor, bag onto the compost heap, which that is a big pile of compost.
That's true. The Simpsons are apparently big into organic gardening.
That's a lot. I'm curious why they didn't just... I mean, compost, I guess, makes logical sense. They couldn't just say, we have a giant pile of manure. It's not Back to the Future where there's just trucks of manure lying around. We get a Simpsons family dinner where they are first shoveling the food into their mouths like the Simpsons do. Marge quickly reminds them that they have company, a guest, so they adjust and eat appropriately. And I, as much as Lisa's worried about how Hugh sees her family, they do try. You know,
that's true. I mean, that's the reason Lisa loves them, is that they try. And I mean, we'll get to this more at the end. But yeah, at least they're trying.
They're like, yeah, like they're trying, like they're, hey, guests are up, like Homer and Bart do set the flag on fire, but they're trying, like their hearts are in the right place. And like, yeah, I like that. It kind of becomes the crux of this episode is Lisa's ties to her family versus, to her prospective husband. Bart explains his work to Hugh at dinner. Hugh goes out with Homer and Bart for a night on the town for a bachelor party, I guess. Matt, you said Kent Brockman with wrong voice. I think it's the right voice.
Yes. On the TV, when he says the following celebrities are considered at large, at least in the DVD version I have, it is not Kent Brockman's voice.
They have here, I think it's just Harry Shearer trying to sound older.
Okay, maybe that's it. And it sound like Kent Brockman at all.
Well, I think it's just him trying to like approximate an older Kent Brockman voice.
Maybe, yeah.
And it just sounds weird. Hugh and Homer they go to Moe's, of course. They go to Moe's. And Hugh and Homer bond. You know, they're drinking and Homer is trying. Again, I think that is another, like, he is trying to bond with Hugh and make Hugh comfortable. he gets to the point in the night where he wants Hugh to wear cufflinks at the wedding, the family heirloom.
Hugh, there's something I want you to have. My dad gave me his cufflinks to wear on the day I married Marge, and they brought us good luck. I couldn't imagine a happier marriage. We don't have many traditions in our family, but it'd mean a lot to me if you kept this one alive.
Well, I'd be honored to wear those things.
Oh.
What kind of crazy person would wear those at his wedding?
I know. What kind of maniac would wear...
Crazy people.
Would wear cufflinks.
Very questionable taste.
Matt wore those at his wedding.
Oh, I forgot.
Indeed I did.
Yeah. Matt wore those at his wedding. I don't know who is responsible for this choice of these cufflinks, but it is an amazing choice to symbolize the kind of the drama here in Hugh marrying Lisa and marrying the Simpsons and these cufflinks that are pigs, and he has to, you know, to wear them and to accept Lisa and her family. It's that struggle he goes through. And we haven't mentioned this. Mandy Patinkin does an amazing job as Hugh in this.
Everyone thinks he's Hugh Grant.
I know. Well, I mean, the character is basically Hugh Grant.
Yes. But, no, obviously.
Yeah, but, and that's, like, Mandy Patinkin. Inigo Montoya, guys. It's Inigo Montoya.
Yes.
He does a fantastic job doing that very, like, you know, Hugh Grant-like character. Probably better than Hugh Grant, honestly. He accepts to wear the cufflinks and, you know, remains to be seen if he actually does wear them. Wink, wink. And Bart is playing VR pool, and then someone playing VR darts hits him, and then they fight with their VR.
So this is some kind of, like, VR sports MMO, I guess?
It's like, you know, you're in a VR approximation of the bar you're in, but you can... I don't know.
Of course, yeah.
They're a little further in VR than we are right now, although we're catching up. Homer and Marge are in bed, and they're enjoying the fact that their house is full again, that all the kids are home. They also mentioned Fox is now a hardcore sex channel. Haven't quite gotten there yet. They must be thinking of FX. FX is the hardcore sex channel. Fox is fairly standard still.
That's true. I mean, I don't, FFX is just the Simpsons channel.
Yeah, it basically is. And Lisa and Hugh are also in bed, and they're all, like, and Lisa's worried, and Hugh's trying to, you know, ease her anxiety. But he is having trouble. They show him not sleeping very well or having trouble going to sleep, and it's clear that he is having second thoughts after encountering the Simpsons. We cut to the next day, and Lisa is preparing. She is gathering together all, like, her dress and getting dressed and all that stuff, getting ready for the wedding.
Mom, I feel kind of funny wearing white. I mean, Milhouse.
Oh, Milhouse doesn't count.
Okay, I've got something old. That's my pearl necklace. Something new is the wedding dress. Something borrowed is this antique brooch from Hugh's mother. And I just need something blue.
Here.
Oh, Mom. Thanks.
I agree. Milhouse does not count.
I think everyone agrees about that.
Yeah, I mean, really. It's in an episode with multiple heartfelt moments. This is the one that she shares with Marge. I really like the fact that they have Homer and Marge just completely accepting of Lisa's wedding. You know, they are completely fine with Lisa's choice in Hugh. The wedding's in front of the nuclear plant. Not necessarily sure if that's a great choice.
I'm dead. Sorry.
Eric died. Yeah. The Homer meets Hugh's family. And Hugh is very anxious about this. I should have probably captured this moment because I love it so much. But Homer's response to them, his first response is, "I love Octopussy." James Bond movies. I've seen that.
Seen it twice.
Seen it twice. And the best part is Hugh is like, "Hey, could be worse. That wasn't awful. I mean, it wasn't great, but it's not terrible." And we get more of the town. So kind of at the wedding, we see Burns thawing. He breaks in half. That's not good. You shouldn't. That's and I'm not necessarily sure that's an actual problem. That's not the first problem with cryogenic freezing, in that when they thaw out, they break a little bit easier. But it's not a good thing. We see Krusty in a wheelchair, who basically looks like old Groucho Marx.
Sorry. I've seen a real life person who looks like that, and I could not figure out who it was. Thank you.
Yeah, that's basically who he is. He doesn't really say much. We see Lisa and Homer before the wedding begins, and it really one of the probably most heartfelt moments in the entire series.
Hi, Dad.
You look great, sweetheart.
Thanks.
Little Lisa Simpson. You know, I always felt you were the best thing my name ever got attached to. Since the time you learned to pin your own diapers, you've been smarter than me.
Oh, Dad.
No, let me finish. I just want you to know I've always been proud of you. You're my greatest accomplishment, and you did it all yourself. You helped me understand my own wife better and taught me to be a better person. But you're also my daughter. I don't think anybody could have had a better daughter than
Dad,
you.
Dad, you're babbling.
See? You're still helping me.
Hey, Dad, did you forget to give those cufflinks to Hugh?
No.
Well?
I found them on the nightstand this morning. I guess they weren't his cup of tea. Don't worry about it.
But you've been going on about these all week. I'm sure he just forgot.
I wanted to cut the clip there, because it continues on with Lisa and Hugh. But I don't know if I can think of a conversation between Lisa and Homer that better encapsulates their relationship in the whole show.
It's that. There's also the end of Lisa the Vegetarian kind of qualifies. It's very similar. Homer tries to do his best, and Lisa appreciates that and forgives him for his slights kind of moment.
Yeah, and you see also in the end of Lisa's substitute a little bit as well. But I feel like this, because it has the benefit of having an aged Homer, you know, it gives them opportunity to give him the perspective of time.
And her, actually, because it's easy to, you know, have kids think certain things because they're naive. But, okay, Lisa's probably 18 or 19, so she's still pretty naive. But even now, she's lived with Homer for, you know, 18, 19 years and has been an adult with him, and she still feels the same way. So you're right. It has a lot more gravitas than it would in the other episodes.
Also, just the bit that Homer has found those cufflinks and sees that Hugh has decided not to wear them, but doesn't say anything because he wants Lisa to be happy on her wedding day with Hugh. You know, that it's a very small thing, but again, Homer is trying to make this work despite himself. The clip continues with Lisa confronting Hugh.
Lisa, we're not supposed to see each other before the wedding. It's tradition.
What about my family's tradition?
Surely you don't want me to wear those in front of my parents and their friends.
But you promised my dad you would.
I was just humoring him, darling. Actually, he frightens me a bit.
I know they look a little silly, but his feelings will be hurt if you don't wear them.
Fine. I must say you were right. This has been quite trying. You know, I've attempted to enjoy your family on a personal level, on an ironic level, as a novelty, as camp, as kitsch, as a cautionary example. Nothing works. Frankly, I'll be quite relieved when we get back to England and we won't have to deal with them.
Are you saying we won't see my family again?
Well, possibly your mother will come when the children are born.
I can't believe I'm hearing this. I don't want to cut my family out of my life.
Oh, really? But Lisa, you're better than this place. You're like a flower that grew out of a pot of dirt.
That's a horrible thing to say.
Oh, come on, you complain about them more than anyone.
Maybe, but I still love them. And I don't think you understand that.
Lisa leaves her ring with Hugh, and the wedding is called off. The town delightfully devours the cake. And we cut back to the present, with Lisa questioning the fortune teller about, why did you show me this?
You said it would be my true love.
Yeah, and then the fortune teller's like, no, I specialize in failed relationships.
Where you get jerked around.
Yep.
Jerked around.
And Lisa and Homer, they meet back up in the present day. And that is how the episode ends.
Lisa, where were you? You missed the most incredible thing.
Hi, Dad.
I ate 7 pounds of fudge.
Wow.
The man at the stand said it was a record.
Wow. What else did you do, Dad?
I wrote the teacups. Then I got a little sick and I had to sit down. But then I wrote them again.
I Dan Castellaneta's performance as Homer is also really spectacular in this episode. I didn't want to point that out. 7 pounds of fudge. That's a lot of fudge.
That's an inhuman amount of anything.
7 pounds.
You eat 7 pounds of anything in one sitting. Oh, God.
Except for air. 7 pounds of air. Yeah, that's probably okay.
You don't really eat. You don't eat air, Matt. Just let you know.
You kind of do. If you breathe through your mouth, it's kind of like eating. You bring it into your body, you process it, and then you exhale it.
That's Matt getting us on a technicality.
I guess. I mean,
I know how much Robbie loves technically correct.
I mean, it's technically correct. It is the best kind of correct. This episode is a great episode. I think everyone considers it one, but man, it's really, really good.
Okay, I have a question for you guys. Since the episode's over,
okay.
Do you think Hugh was a bad guy for not wanting to spend time around The Simpsons?
A bad guy?
Yeah, like I've seen people who are like, oh, Hugh's the prototypical example of a jerk that you shouldn't spend your time with. And I see it as more as like, no, Hugh just doesn't like spending time around Lisa's family and prefer they didn't. He could have come across, he could have said that more tactfully and maybe saved the relationship. But
I agree. I mean, he's not a bad person. He is just, he's not right for Lisa.
He's not right for Lisa's family.
I think that's what this episode is saying, is like, Lisa, despite the fact that of all the Simpsons, she's the least Simpson-like, you know, she is the smartest one, she is the vegetarian, she is the radical, she still is a Simpson, like, they analyze them in multiple different episodes, multiple different ways. This episode really captures the fact that it doesn't matter how old she gets, how far she goes, she's still a Simpson, and she's still attached to her family, she still loves them, because they try, because that is where she's from, despite the fact that she might not necessarily always be proud of it. I don't think he was a bad person, but they are not, they're, a marriage is more than just if they can get along when they're alone, and
right.
They certainly should not be married, and I don't think he's a bad man. He's not a jerk. I mean, he can be a jerk, like everyone can be a jerk, but he wanted to marry Lisa, and he just didn't he should have been introduced to the family more than a day before the wedding. I think that's probably the real flaw in this.
That's true. Generally, you get introduced to the family, like, you know, a few months in, not, you know, the day of the wedding, which maybe they just got married within 3 months because they're young and stupid.
Yeah. Although both the family seem okay with it, so they probably trust both these very intelligent, hyper-intelligent people. They probably trust them.
That's true, but intelligent people are not often the best when it comes to character judgments. And plus, in regards to what you said earlier, I feel like Lisa's only going to be happy when she finds somebody who is essentially like her, who comes from a family that belongs in a small town, is in general not very smart, and is just weird all around, but they are intelligent and kind of worked their way out. That's the only way she's going to find somebody who will appreciate her for who she is, but not be scared off by her family.
So, not Milhouse.
Not Milhouse, that's correct. Even if she can manipulate him emotionally to the ends of time.
Eric, thoughts?
What, on Milhouse?
No, not on Milhouse. I mean, if you want to, but I mean about this episode in general.
Yeah, yeah. It's hashtag not my Milhouse.
Oh.
Yeah. Gosh, this is just always sticks out as one of my all-time favorite episodes. It's, I don't know. I love the flash forward, and I think... I don't know, you want the Simpsons kids to grow up and be okay, and it's nice to see this side of Lisa, and I think I've had a crush on college-aged Lisa my whole life. This is, I don't know, this will always be one of my favorites.
Rolling Stones fan too?
Only for their efforts to preserve historic buildings.
Okay, good.
All that rock and roll stuff, I don't get it.
They can keep their sticky fingers.
They can.
It's, again, like, I think we've already talked, like, this is canonically, they end up good, and they're happy, mm-hmm. and they're sound, You know, they're not, it's not depressing.
Mm-hmm. Bart becomes Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, and he moonlights as a stage music or a magician.
Of course.
I mean,
and occasionally a stripper.
Occasionally a stripper.
Bang, just, bang, it's Bart.
It's a little bit more to love, ladies.
We will rank it at the end of the show. It's going to go pretty high, I have a feeling. We have one submission for my favorite episode. This is from Danielle. Hi, Matt and Robbie. My submission for my favorite episode is Lisa's Wedding. There's so many things to love about this episode, especially now that we're in a post-2010 world, and we can laugh at the imagined future that never was. England saving America's ass in World War III, for example. Who knows? Might happen still. I love seeing Lisa as a young adult in a place other than Springfield. For so many of us growing up, Lisa was such a relatable character, as she was more intelligent, empathetic, and sensitive than everyone around her, and to see her living up to her potential gave all the smart, sensitive girls out there hope for the future. When I watched this episode as a kid, I always thought Lisa was stupid for not marrying Hugh and escaping Springfield, but as an adult, I see the real message of the episode. No matter their intelligence, wealth, or uncanny ability to embarrass, you always love your family. Although the new canon of Lisa staying in Springfield and marrying Milhouse is so depressing, it makes me miss that English jerk. Thanks. Thanks for the podcast, guys. Keep up the great work.
Yep.
Yep. We're right there with you, Danielle.
Yeah.
No, doesn't happen. Milhouse is I don't care what they, how many episodes in the future they show Lisa and Milhouse married.
Hashtag not my Milhouse.
Not my Milhouse. Mm-hmm. If you have.
Luckily, we find out that in the future, Lisa's daughter is much more like her than Milhouse.
Not solace. If you have a favorite episode, submit it to us at SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. Explain why it is your favorite. I'll read it when we get to that episode. Next up, it is time for comments from the news group.
Okay, here we are. Alt.nerd.obsessive.
Comments from the news group is where I will comb through the old alt.tv.simpsons news group archived on Google Groups and see what people are talking about the week or two after this episode debuted. Enunciate. Largely positive.
Hmm.
Overwhelmingly weird. Positive, I should say. Only a very few negatives. There's always a couple, but despite the most of this episode's very up, most of the season, I should say, is very up and down. Very many people are like, this is the worst season. This season's garbage. This episode, even the doubters were like, no, this is a great one. It's back to the form of the thing I like, whatever that is. It is a great episode, so it makes sense. I'm guessing the novel concept of the flash forward, the first time the Simpsons have done it. You know, even the jaded viewers of the Simpsons fans in 1995, their cold hearts were warmed. I do.
They saw the future and they were like, "Yes, that is the future I want to live in with those kind of planes."
Oh yeah, those planes. We didn't mention the planes. I'm against those planes.
It's a bold statement.
I know.
I can't imagine.
You're so brave, Robbie.
I know. I mean, not, you know, not too often enough people call them, you know, call themselves a Rosa Parks, but I mean.
So that's what you are now.
Yeah, I'm a Rosa Parks.
You're a Rosa Parks.
That's my Rosa Parks moment. Those plans aren't great. Also.
So brave.
I know. The episode listed names of celebrities that were criminals. And they broke them out here. I have the name. It is mostly nonsensical. We have the Baldwin Brothers Gang, Dr. Brad Pitt, John Kennedy, George Burns, Infamous Amos, grandson of Sam, the artist formerly known as O negative positive negative carrot? Open
what?
Arrow? The little, whatever the little arrow thing is. Tim Allen Jr., Senator and Mrs. Dracula, the artist formerly known as Buddy Hackett, Madonna Bots Series K, Sideshow Ralph Wiggum.
Oh, yeah.
That's a good future for Ralph. He's a
that
sideshow.
That is definitely canon right there.
Martha Hitler and Johnny Neutrino.
I think the artist formerly known as is supposed to be Prince.
I think that's who it's alluding to, but it just says O negative, pause, O. It's an O, then a minus, and a plus, then a minus, and like a little arrow.
I swear I saw the Prince symbol in there.
Oh, maybe this whoever did this in ASCII just could not do the Prince symbol very well.
Maybe.
But that's about it. Normal. Where's Springfield? Still, you'd think 6 years in they'd figure out that it would, you know, they're not going to actually answer that question. But with that, we can move on to our next segment. It's time for the listener question of the week.
Let's try one more number.
Yellow?
KBBL is going to give me something stupid.
Well, hot dog, we have a wiener.
Yellow?
Our listener question of the week this week is, what is your favorite use of The Simpsons outside of the show? Tons of great answers. Really appreciate all the responses you guys give us. They're all great. First from Amanda at Drawn to Insanity. Season 6, Episode 1 of The X-Files has an asleep nuclear worker named Homer. That's a deep cut there. Emily at Blueberry Attack, the arcade game, a frequent sight in the old Camp Brown arcades of my youth. George at Pompey George, the mid-90s ZDNet Simpsons screensaver even had Sunday best lawn mowing. And he provided a link on our, I retweeted this on our Twitter, of a breakdown of all the different Simpsons screensavers there were. Like flying toaster style screensavers.
This is incredible.
They're really good.
This is on the Simpsons show, or this is on the
Simpsons show. Yes,
I have to look this up. It sounds beautiful.
It's really good. There's a lot of them. We have Owen at Owen Davis. One Simpsons hit and run took me 13 long and hard years to beat it, but it's still amazing. Sean at Sean and Mac 15, the South Park episode Simpsons did it. Not only a fantastic South Park episode, but a deserving homage to their predecessors. Brian, easily Universal Studios Simpsons theme land. Why I'm so bitter that Back to the Future the ride had to be axed for it. I love the immersive Springfield area. Getting a beer at Moe's was a dream come true. Will, an episode of Comedy Bang Bang, the TV show, when Scott Aukman sarcastically says everyone knows the funniest episodes of The Simpsons are the most recent ones. Obviously. Norman, Simpsons Hit and Run was an awesome game that every fan owes it to someone to find a copy of and play on a last-gen console. Still holds up a super fun with a great story to boot. Close runner-up, the unlicensed bar, Don't Have a Cow Man, Carnival Mirrors from the early 90s. I would vote all that unlicensed Simpsons crap is terrible and amazing. There's a bootleg Twitter account I follow that just posts bootleg merchandise, and occasionally they post Simpsons stuff, and it's amazing. Holly, the Family Guy episode, Guy Robot, when a drunk Peter Griffin finally admits, we act like we didn't take a lot from The Simpsons, but we took a lot from The Simpsons. it is really good. Josh, maybe I missed it, but I'm surprised The Simpsons arcade game has been mentioned. Arguably the best side-scrolling arcade game, made up more of my quarters than any other arcade game. The best part was the ability to do joint attacks with a couple of characters. And finally, we have Mitch's answer. It's got to be Simpsons Scrabble. Much better than any of the other licensed Scrabble sets, as it includes a special edition Scrabble dictionary, which allows the following words. Avoision, Booerns, Carhole, Chazwazers, Craptacular, Christatunity, Cromulent, Diddly, Doodly, Doctorb, Inbiggin, Esquilax, Fortify, Gamblor, Glaven, Jeebus, Quijibo, Microfragilistics, Neborino, Quetzalcoatl-Tenenga, Rageahall, Saxophone, Smarch, Speedholes, Superliminal, Tamako, Tromboner, Unblowupable, Unpossible, Volley Brick, Woozle Wuzzle, and Yoink.
I don't see Meh in that list, and now I'm kind of sad.
Meh's openly accepted Scrabble word.
Oh, okay.
You don't need a special
Simpsons edition.
No, like that's in the actual dictionary. What is your answer, Matt?
Oh, it's really tough because a lot of these are super good. I love the Simpsons Sit and Run game. I've loved the Simpsons arcade game. But it's going to have to be pretty much the South Park episode Simpsons did it, because essentially the whole episode is South Park saying, yeah, we get it, the Simpsons did it. We're going to try and do, you know, something a little bit like that, but maybe not. It is fantastic.
Eric, what is your answer?
It's actually been mentioned a couple of times, so I'll mention something else also.
Okay.
But Simpsons arcade game, a lot of fond memories of that travesty of a game. It's so fun. No beat 'em ups are really good games.
But I don't know, the X-Men.
Yes, I mean, we all learn so much from Wendigo.
Wendigo, that's important. That's an important thing.
How many times have I yelled Wendigo at you?
You want me to actually tell you?
You have like a clicker in your pocket.
Yep, every time. Unfortunately, the clicker stops at 3 digits, so
yeah.
999 is the answer.
It rolls over. We're back at 1. So, apart from the Simpsons arcade game, another game that is Simpsons and also not that great, but Bart versus the World, I think it was, the NES game. I cannot believe that my brother and I, we actually beat that game multiple times.
Wow.
Yes.
We tried to play that game one time.
It's hard.
We
beat it probably 3 separate times. I don't know why we were so obsessed with it, but we would play it together and trade off, and you fight a bunch of Monty Burnses. It's remarkable. That was in the days when games hated you.
Yeah.
Well, they had like four levels, so they had to make those four levels impossible.
It's true.
My answer is also a video game, but it's one that is known. Everyone mentioned the hit and run games, the arcade game, but I just like the Simpsons game. The most recent, I guess, Simpsons only. The Simpsons are in Lego Dimensions, which is the Toys to Life Lego game that is available now. But I am not going to spend $100 plus to get a small part of a Simpsons game. The Simpsons game I feel like it's actually the most realized version of a video game with the Simpsons in it, and that it is very much like, let's just make fun of different video game tropes.
Huh.
It was on last gen? Yeah, 360 and Wii and PlayStation 3.
But not on PC, of course. That'd be too easy for everyone.
No, of course. I've looked at Wii emulators. They do not do a good job yet on the Simpsons game. Aww. And it is not backwards compatible for the 360 for the Xbox One. So no way to play it unless you want to use your PS3 or Xbox 360 or your Wii. But I still really like it. It's a fun game. Next week's question. What is your favorite Simpsons prediction that came true? Like Rolling Stones touring in 2010, or Donald Trump running for president. Those things. There's many of them. We've run across many of them just already. But
disgusting soy snacks.
Yep, disgusting.
Yummy.
Obviously, you don't have to come from future flash forward episodes, whatever. They can just be things they did in the 90s that happened in the 2000s. I'll post this question on all our social media. Facebook.com/TheSimpsonsShowPod, Twitter @SimpsonsShowPod, email us at SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. Any of those places, like, follow, all those other words that people use with social media. Matt, guess what?
Scary time.
Matt, you have any points? You have a 12-point lead on me, all right?
So?
It is time for the No Google Trivia Challenge.
I am too smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-R-T.
The No Google Trivia Challenge is where Matt and I will each try and stump the other with three trivia questions. One easy, one medium, one hard. And see who is... I hesitate to use the word smarter, but knows more Simpsons trivia.
Who just watches them all over and over again?
Yeah. We have a wager for this season. The host that does not win has to mow their other's lawn and their wife's Sunday's best. At this rate, I will still be in Florida when this season is over. So
just doesn't want him.
We'll find out if I'm still here or not. I don't want to make any more predictions. We each have three trivia questions. Eric also has some. We'll do ours first, and then Eric can hit us up with his. Matt, start us off. Give me an easy question.
All right, sir. Your easy question for today is, what substance does Homer learn to enjoy in Weekend at Bernsey's?
Weekend at Bernsey's? I'm not sure which episode that is.
The one where he gets eye trauma?
Oh, marijuana.
That is correct.
Okay, Matt. I have a theme. We did not have a theme from the Lister Smith, so I chose my own. These are all from... I had it here. Oh, season 14.
14, okay. It's not the worst to work on that.
Your easy question. In the strong arms of the Maw, what traumatizes Marge into agoraphobia?
I believe she is mugged.
That is correct.
Okay.
That is correct. My medium question, Matt.
All right, sir. Your medium question. In Half Decent Proposal, after Homer sees Marge and Artie together, where do he and Lenny go to work?
I think we're both purposely picking episodes that from the seasons that we don't like. I don't think I know this.
Uh-oh.
I don't think I do. Lenny and Homer go to work. Blind, shot in the dark. An oil rig.
Can you be more specific?
What? How can you be more specific than an oil rig?
They go to a very specific place to work.
Oh.
It's part of the end of the episode.
An offshore oil rig? Offshore? I don't know. Alaska.
I think it's worth 1 point that you got oil rig, but it was actually the West Springfield oil fields, which is apparently 3 times the size of Texas.
All right. I don't know that. Sounds great.
All right.
Your medium question, Matt. In Large Marge, what is Stampy's safety word?
Stampy's safety word. What is Stampy's safety word? What was the word I
Krusty is supposed to remember it, and I can't remember it either, and I feel bad. Okay, stupid shot in the dark. Jumbo?
I'm sorry, that is incorrect, Matt. Oh, Eric, do you have a guess?
Not even.
It's
no, I can't compete with you guys on this.
I
never know these answers.
The answer is that no one can compete with Matt. Large Marge is the episode where Marge gets breast implants accidentally. Stampy's safety word in that episode is Magumbo.
Oh, I was close, actually.
I don't give bonus points for rhyming.
I know. All right, your hard question. I swear I've asked this before, but basically I came up with the question for so long ago. What is the name of the head of the candy company in Sweets and Sour Marge?
Ooh. Is that Ben Stiller character?
I believe so, yes. I'll look it up.
You'll look it up?
Yeah.
Okay. It's something, like, not sweet at all, I have a feeling. Like, it's poison or venom or something. I don't know. I give up.
Are you officially give up?
John Poison.
Garth Mother Loving.
Oh, Mother Loving. Yeah, that's right. Okay.
Sorry, man.
I know I need to watch all these, like, 12, 13, 14 episode seasons, because that's where we keep going, but I don't...
Yeah.
A lot of them I don't want to. Okay, your hard question. In The Dad Who Knew Too Little, what is the name of the PI Homer uses to find out information about Lisa?
Oh, I know this. I know this.
I hope you don't.
Oh. I want to say it's like a gun or something, like a PI name that you get from an old noir. I'm going to go with a random guess and say Beretta.
Dexter Colt.
Oh, of course. I'm so close.
Okay. Oh, well. So... we're at 2-1 right now. Raging, roaring accomplishment we're doing here.
Yeah.
Eric, you have said you have 7 questions, correct?
Yes, I do.
Okay. You ask them, and whoever gets the answer first, we have one guess each. Whoever gets it first gets the... Just tell us the difficulty before you...
Yeah, I'll start with my easiest one.
Okay.
All right. There is a knockoff version of Radioactive Man. What is his name?
Radiation Dude.
That's correct.
I hate you.
I know.
Okay.
All right. Have you guessed the theme behind my questions yet?
Comic books.
Whoa.
Yes. I would have thought. Did you guess that before I started asking questions?
No, I did not. The one question was enough.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious. What else is it going to be about? Okay, question 2. What is Comic Book Guy's real name?
Jeff Albertson.
I think I heard Robbie first.
It is Jeff. Yeah. Well, first, Matt's wrong, because it's not Anderson, it's Albertson.
It is Albertson. It is Albertson.
Yes,
it
I'm positive, Jeff. Matt, because we're going to get to a formal complaints segment next. But it is Jeff Albertson.
All right.
Would you consider that an easy question, Eric?
I would say it's a medium to hard question for anyone but you two, but I put it in my easy question section.
Okay, if you consider it easy, I will give myself a point for it.
You could, I mean, like I said, it's medium to hard for anyone else. I don't think it's a problem.
Matt, Matt, grade that. Was that a medium or an easy?
I'd say that's an easy question.
Even though you got it wrong?
Even though I got it wrong.
Okay.
So, how about...
For a bonus question.
Okay.
What is his wife's name?
Oh.
Kimiko?
That's correct.
I'll give you 2 for that one. That's worth 2.
That was a little bit harder since she's only been like 2 episodes.
I think we're in the medium to hard territory now. So
the only reason I put that in there is because it specifically said that she was a mangaka, and I thought that was amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. Season 19, episode 7, Husbands and Knives.
No.
3 comic book superstars featured in that episode.
Oh,
who
God.
Are they?
Alan
Moore.
Stan Lee.
Alan Moore. Is it Dave Gibbons, maybe?
Both of you have given one wrong answer.
Good. Excellent. <Yeah.
laughs> I know Alan Moore is in there because I thought that
Alan
was hilarious
in
his portrayal.
Alan Moore is correct.
Because of Watchmen babies, of course.
Watchmen, V for Vacation.
V for Vacation.
But not Stan Lee. And not, what did you say?
Dave Gibbons, Matt
yeah,
said.
Not yeah, not Dave Gibbons. They're not mainstream. They're more arty comic book guys. We have done books by both of them for Handsome Boys.
Very helpful. Only 150 of those to choose from.
Only 150.
I'll start working down the list then. Frank Miller.
Now I would have remembered that one.
No, Frank Miller? He's not in The Simpsons?
Frank Miller has not been in The Simpsons.
I give up. I'm not going to come up.
It is Art Spiegelman and Daniel Clowes.
Oh, wow. I did not.
I know, right? I was really shocked to read that.
Clowes, Art Spiegelman. Yeah. Okay. Matt gets a point. I give Matt a point for that. He got
well, that you, did you both say Alan Moore?
No, only Matt said Alan.
Okay. All right. I don't know if this ever actually shifted or not, but in Three Men in a Comic Book, what do they say Radioactive Man's identity is? His secret identity.
That was Claude Kane, wasn't it?
That's
sorry,
not
Claude
everything.
Kane the third.
That's correct.
Oh my lord!
I know he's watched.
You know, if you played Tapped Out, Robbie, you'd know more of these. I'm just saying.
I'd rather lose.
There's a comic book event going on right now,
Matt. I'd rather lose. I'd rather lose. I think we're in solidly in hard territory now.
Wait, no. This
no?
is
not
these
yet.
These are definitely the next two. This next one I think is possible. The last one, I will be shocked if you guys know any of them.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
If you know any of these, you are monsters. Who is Radioactive Man's arch nemesis?
Dr. Crab?
What is his full name?
Oh, man. His full name. Oh, man.
I'll give you a hint. It's Russian and it has crab in it.
Krabinski. Steve.
You're really not that far off, to be perfectly honest.
It's like Krabowski, I think.
It's not too far off from that.
Igor Krabowski.
Leonard Krabowski is my final answer.
Both of you are wrong.
Okay.
It's Vladimir Krabikov.
Oh, of course. You have to have the Nabokov reference in there for some reason.
I think you were right on it with Dr. Crab, so I think that's, I don't know, is that at least partial credit? Do we give partial credit for that?
Sure. We'll just let Matt murder me in this season.
We don't have to. Well, you can, you there are
he got it right.
Four,
he said
six. There are eight.
He did get the first part right. Got the first part. I gave him a point. That's worth it. At least
I think
a point.
I think that's fine. I think that's fair. But there are eight answers to the next question.
Okay.
So you going to get all 8 points, Robbie?
No. I don't know if you.
No
you,
one,
you say you listen
no
to this
one.
Show, Matt. To Eric, we know. I'm not. I'm gonna.
You guys might actually know other answers to this that could only find
eight
answers to this. Two of them are easy. Two of them I would get.
Okay.
Name other Radioactive Man characters.
Fallout Boy.
Fallout Boy.
That's one of the easy ones. Yes.
Gloria. Oh God, what was her name? It was Gloria. Was something was his love interest that hated him.
I didn't put that one down because I couldn't find a reference to it in an episode. I only could have find a reference to it in comics.
Yeah, that's true.
There are a lot of non-canonical characters in the comics.
There are.
I have a huge list that I would love to read to you because they are ridiculous.
We can do that. I will say I'm done. I cannot think of any others.
Both of you can think of one. Think of the episode of Radioactive Man the movie. Think of the Adam West Radioactive Man show.
Oh, we're going with that as well. There was the Scoutmaster.
Yes.
There was who did Krusty play? It was like the
was Krusty in that?
Yeah, he played the evil clown. It may have been a different episode.
There's one that's listed. He's listed as like five different characters non-canonically, but maybe one of those is him that you're talking about.
It's possible. It was like the killer clown or something like that.
I'm done.
If we're going with episodes, there was also the one about the like second Radioactive Man movie that Homer starred in, which had was a Wind Lad, Citizen Solar, Old King Cole.
Oh God.
There was more. There was Petrolius Rex. There was
there's more that I can't remember.
There's two more. You just got six.
Oh, they're so old. Oh my God, what is the last two?
There's two more. Just think of the theme. Think of the theme.
That's what I'm trying to remember is so
think
solar
of what the two that you named are.
There's one that's based on like natural gas, but I can't remember what his name is. And then there's I give up. There's one more, but I cannot remember who it is.
The one that you're trying to think of, I think, is the Fracker.
The Fracker, yes.
And the other one is Charcoal Briquette. They are called the Fossil Fuel 4.
That's right.
These are the only ones I could find. I cannot believe you knew those.
That's what I was telling Robbie. There is a superhero / comic book event in Tapped Out right now that has all of these characters except for Charcoal Briquette and the Fracker.
So, after today, Matt is now leading me by 22 points.
Sorry, Robbie.
I don't think I'm going to make a comeback with like four. Let's see how many episodes we have left to go.
To be fair, not in my wildest dreams did I think Watson would be able to find that.
Six episodes.
Found those answers.
Six episodes to go. I'm 22 points behind. Don't think I'm going to make a comeback, guys. Just going to call that. Maybe I should just get my punishment over with. Eric, do you want to read those names? Those non-canonical?
I would love to. The first, I can't remember which one. I think Krusty wanted to play Crispy the Clown, but he ended up playing Dr. Clownius, Angry the Clown, yes. Silly Sailor, and Crusto the Evil Clown, which I think is the one that you were remembering.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Why did I remember Silly Sailor? I can't fathom. Sorry.
There's also Beak Boy, Bolarama, Braino the Magnificent, General Motor, Hypnotic Head, Larceny Lass, Larva Girl, Dodd Rundledge, which is apparently that's
Larva
what I thought
Girl
that they
definitely in an episode.
Do what now?
Larva Girl is definitely in an episode.
She's in
because,
three men in a comic book. She's in that.
Was she?
Yeah.
Oh well, that that would have been an acceptable answer for the last question.
It's too late.
You should have thrown it out there. Samaru, a samurai kangaroo. The Scarlet Floozy, the Human Lawn Dart, and Mr. Kidney Punch.
Oh. I like General Motor. That's my favorite of that list.
Yeah.
I think he's like a big transformer that looks like a general.
Why isn't that in a comic book somewhere?
It's in a Bongo comic book about the Simpsons.
I know, but like, why haven't just like Marvel DC just stolen that? I don't know why. Just taking it directly. Yeah, that'll do it for... the No Google Trivia Challenge for this week. If you have a theme or questions, you can send them in. SimpsonsShowPod@twitter.com, Facebook, you know, all the places I mentioned before. Yep, I'm doing good this year. It's a good show. This is a good season for me. We do have, as the aforementioned, we should move on to our next segment, not final segment. Next segment is time for formal complaints.
Boy, I really hope somebody got fired for that blunder.
We got two different people, Matt.
There are so many better nerds than I.
Who wrote in complaining Jeff Albertson is the comic book guy's real name, not Jeff Anderson.
Of course.
Nick and Andrew Bloom, who's been a guest on the show, both correcting you. So I'm going to have to dock you 30 points.
30 points? I don't know if I agree about that.
No, we'll just leave it. But those are the formal complaints we got this week. If you have any formal complaints, again, any of the social media places, if I deem them reasonable, they will be publicly aired. Now with those complaints formally acknowledged, we can move on to our final episode, final segment we end every episode with. It is time for best episode ever.
Best episode ever.
Best episode ever is part of the show where Matt and I will rank the episodes categorically as we watch them chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode ever and how good they are. So my question for you, Matt.
Uh-oh.
Is this better than Lisa's Substitute?
Better than Lisa's Substitute.
Currently number three on our list.
God, it's tough to judge. I want to say yes, because it's all about who Lisa is as a person, which so is Lisa's Substitute, but it's also about her relationship to Homer, who is one of the core cast. And I want to say yes because of that, but Lisa's Substitute is just so perfect in everything it does that I'm having a hard time. What do you think?
It's better.
Yeah, I can definitely go along with that. Because it's just, like I said, both of them are about Lisa and who she is and how she sees herself. But you don't get a lot of the other characters in Lisa's Substitute. Plus, you have the whole subplot of Bart as running for class president, which works itself in, but it kind of detracts from it. Whereas this, there's just Lisa, Hugh, and the family. And it's so funny. My God, is it so funny.
Eric, do you have any thoughts?
It's one of my all-time favorites, so if you're going to put it around number three, I am not going to argue with that. It's in my top five easily.
Yeah.
Easily.
I would say it's better. I think it's better than Lisa's Substitute.
I agree with that.
Yeah. We have Marge vs. the Monorail at number two. I think the songs in Marge vs. the Monorail put it over this.
That plus Leonard Nimoy, of course.
Leonard Nimoy does a good job. I'm not going to say he's the reason. Marge vs. the Monorail is just like a perfect half hour of comedic television.
That is true.
Like,
is
I can't.
It's very hard to compare to this because it's just completely different.
I usually, in these situations where we're faced with like, hey, these Simpsons episodes are like, this is very much like, hey, let's make fun of a fake future and have a very heartfelt Lisa kind of with her family stuff. Versus Marge vs. the Monorail, which is like weird, like Frank Capra-esque monorail, like combination of all these comedy things that The Simpsons does. I go with my gut. And my gut says Marge vs. the Monorail ekes it out over Lisa's Wedding. But Lisa's Wedding is very good. And
indeed.
I think number three is a good spot for it. Officially in, just typing, dramatic.
Tappity tap tap.
Tap tap tap. Number one on our list is still Cape Fear. But will it be passed? Probably at some point, but no, I don't know. It's lasted a while up there. Last on our list is number 115, Homer's Odyssey. It will be passed as well.
That's really what I'm waiting for.
You're gonna have to wait a while.
Is to see what stinker you're gonna put below that.
There's probably more than one, honestly, but
no, I know. That's like the whole that I'm on the edge of my seat for that.
We'll get there. You can find this list at our website, simpsonsshow.com. Links to all our new episodes, downloadable and streaming. You can get this list broken down by season, plus all the Treehouse of Horror segments ranked separately. Also links to our Facebook, to our Twitter, to our RSS feed, to our Patreon. If you want to throw us a dollar or two, we'd really appreciate it. What is our next episode, Matt?
Ooh, let's check the list. Not to be confused with the nozzle. Our next episode is 2001 Greyhounds. It's time for 101 Dalmatians, guys.
He really likes the vest. See, before we go, you can find me on Twitter at MixmasterShield. That's MixmasterCreal. Please check out my comic book podcast, Handsome Boys Comics Hour, handsomeboyscomicshour.com, on iTunes, etc. Eric, what would you like to plug?
Well, I do this really terrible podcast called Handsome Boys Comics Hour.
I've heard of it.
Yeah. You know, there's one guy. He's pretty good, but that Robbie guy, I swear.
One episode started with them yelling Wendigo at each other.
It just never ends, you know? It's a nonstop Wendigo yelling party. How about I do my regular plug?
Okay.
You should listen to our podcast. We're very witty. No, you can see my portfolio going to freewillunlimited.com. You can see most of the things I get up to by going to ericzgoodnight.com. That includes my Instagram, where I am at Easy Goodnight, and my Twitter, where I'm at Mr. Bad Example, spelled MR Bad Example.
Matt does not participate in social media unless you're a certain level of Patreon backer. You will not find him.
That's true. However, I have decided that I am going to build myself into a giant hole in the ground and attempt to survive into the coming apocalypse of the hard rain once the moon blows up. It hasn't yet, but in the prophetic novel Seven Eves, it happened. So obviously it will be happening very soon. So I'm going to start digging. See you guys later.
I can't even parse what just happened.
No one's going to like train a mole and send some like subterranean animal to come talk to you.
Well, I was just going to train a whole bunch of disaffected youths that used to be called mutants.
That's true. The mutants.
They're always good followers.
It is. This is an operating table.
With that, I am Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
Keep watching The Simpsons.
Oh, Robbie.